Also besser als ich, aber. So, Hare Krishna. Good morning. I'm very happy that you are here. Because today I will start with my lectures, which I have prepared for this event. So what I really will start today is a lecture which I really wanted all the devotees to hear, but we just don't have enough time for all the points and all the programs which I will give over the last over the next few days. However, it's important for me to tell you that what I will tell you today is something I've thought for many years actually about, and it's the first time where I can discuss this. So I really hope that Gaurahari's tape recorder will work. It works actually every day, but usually my trust is whenever you need the technique, at least in my case, it just burns out in the last minute. So today we just hope that Hare Krishna technique, that you will not disappoint us. Okay, so let us start with Jai Radha Madhava. Jai Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopidana Vallava Girivara Dhani Gopidana Vallava Girivara Dhani. Yasoda nandana braja jana ranjana Yasoda nandana braja jana ranjana Yamuna tira vana chaji Yamuna tira vana chaji Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Chila Prabhupada. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Radhe. Jaya Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai.
We are reading this morning from the 11th canto of the Bhagavata, text 20. I'm sorry, the 20th chapter, text 27 to 28. Translation. Having awakened faith in the narrations of my glories, being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment, my devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. Even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. Purport. The beginning stage of pure devotional service is described here by the Lord. A sincere devotee has practically seen that all material activities lead only to sense gratification, and all sense gratification leads only to misery. Thus, a devotee's sincere desire is to engage 24 hours a day in the loving service of Lord Krishna without any personal motivation. The devotee sincerely desires to be established in his constitutional position as the Lord's eternal servitor, and he prays to the Lord to elevate him to this exalted position. The word Anishvara indicates that because of one's past sinful activities and bad habits, one may not immediately be able to completely extinguish the enjoying spirit. The Lord here encourages such a devotee not to be overly depressed or morose, but to remain enthusiastic and to go on with his loving service. The word nirvana indicates that a sincere devotee, although somewhat entangled in the remnants of sense gratification, is completely disgusted with material life and under no circumstances willingly commits sinful activities. In fact, he avoids every kind of materialistic activity. The word kaman basically refers to sex attraction and its byproducts in the form of children, home, and so forth. Within the material world, the sex impulse is so strong that even a sincere candidate in the loving service of the Lord may sometimes be disturbed by sex attraction or by lingering sentiments for wife and children. A pure devotee certainly feels a spiritual affection for all living entities, including the so-named wife and children, but he knows that all material bodily attraction leads to no good. for it simply entangles one and one's so-called relatives in a miserable chain reaction of fruitive activities. The word dridha nishchaya, steadfast conviction, indicates that in any circumstance a devotee is completely determined to go on with his prescribed duties for Krishna. Thus he thinks. Now the very nice description of the devotee's thought is given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. But I feel it's very important to stop for a moment. Since time immemorial, the living entity has become Bahiranga Mukha, facing the material energy and becoming attracted or repulsed, abgestoßen, from it. And because of this deep absorption in material life, the mind and the senses function anish in an anishvara way. Anishvara means one is not in control any longer. It goes more or less automatic, our entanglement into the material energy. And therefore, as the purport says, it's sometimes not possible for the devotee to act on the spiritual platform, but he becomes pulled in by the material energy. Still, if he has faith in Krishna and a deep conviction or determination, then his position is also called pure devotional service. And it's not that just because he cannot control his mind and senses, he's not a pure devotee. As long as the faith is there and the determination. And I believe you will understand this when you hear this particular purport, or which describes now how the devotee thinks. This is what he thinks. By my previous shameful life, my heart is polluted with many illusory attachments. Personally, I have no power to stop them. Anishvara. Only Lord Krishna within my heart can remove such inauspicious contamination. But whether the Lord removes such attachments immediately or lets me go on being afflicted by them, I will never give up my devotional service to Him. Even if the Lord places millions of obstacles in my path, and even if because of my offenses I go to hell, I will never for a moment stop serving Lord Krishna. I am not interested in mental speculation and fruitive activities. Even if Lord Brahma personally comes before me, offering such engagements. Oh, you can become the king of the world. Oh, you could become the best philosopher. No, I will not even be slightly interested. Although I am attached to material things, I can very clearly see that they lead to no good, because they simply give me trouble and disturb my devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, I sincerely repent my foolish attachments to so many material things, and I am patiently awaiting Lord Krishna's mercy. Isn't that wonderful? How the devotee thinks, yes, in my heart, because of my past sinful activities, there are still so many inauspicious attachments. And I have acknowledged that on my own, by my strength, I'm not able to give them up. It only could work if Krishna comes in my heart and illumines my heart with his mercy. This is what the wonderful devotee thinks. And then he says, but even if, you know, Krishna should not choose to come immediately, I will go on with my devotional service. And this intention makes him a pure devotee. Krishna consciousness, in other words, cannot be only measured by achievement. This would be the paradigm in which we look from the material world. You're a rich man when you really have the novats. You know, novats means money. If you really can, you know, if you really have sufficient funds, that if you, when you need some money, you just put it on the table, chup, 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 and you buy what you want. Then, by the symptom, you can be called a rich man. But in bhakti, the thought process, it is different. Even if at this moment, you may not actually be able to manifest your attachment to Krishna in practical renunciation of anything which is non-Krishna, even though this may not be the case, if your Shraddha is there and your determination, you are considered by Krishna a pure devotee. And you know, this is such a wonderful point of bhakti. I'm just so overwhelmed by this point. Whenever I come in my life to this point, I could just cry with happiness, because the Lord really is committed to anyone who tries to become his devotee. He says, even if due to circumstances he may be still engaged in an abominable act from time to time, he should be considered a sadhu. Sadhu eva samantavyaha. No, he should be considered a sadhu. Arjuna, when he hears this, he thinks, Krishna, what are you saying? The devotee we should see some good example from the devotee. But Krishna takes his hand to his chest and says, no, Arjuna, I tell you, I'm very serious. If he wants to come to me, he is a sadhu. Obviously, the Prabhupada makes it in the purport very clear, and it's by quoting this verse from the he makes it very clear. No good devotee will think, "Oh, Krishna will will love me even if I do many mistakes. So let me do my mistakes." That is not at all to be found in the heart of a devotee. This thought, this is a non-devotee thought. You know, okay, let's sin now. No, the devotee knows Krishna does not like if I'm engaged in sinful activities, and he will not do it. Let us think about just this point I wanted you to think about. Now, we will start with a lecture. It's called Progress, Downfalls, and Krishna's Mercy. This is how the lecture is called. Hare Krishna. Need to give a title, because the whole world will hear it. Hello world. Listen very carefully. This lecture might totally put your understandings up and down and fill your hearts with happiness. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a statement which explains that after Krishna had created the many species of life, he still felt dissatisfaction in his heart, because in all the he had not yet created the human being. He had created fishes, butterflies, birds, even powerful animals like gorillas and lions. But he felt dissatisfied, because how would it be possible for the fallen soul to make advancement in his or her progress in these forms which are totally controlled by the urges of the senses, by the instincts and so on. So he created after some very merciful thought process the human form of life, which is a very important possibility to come to full Krishna consciousness or God consciousness. And then he felt satisfied. Now, the human being has also what you could call an animalistic inheritance, or in Deutsch, ein tierisches Erbe. He has senses which are attracted to the same activities which the animals are attracted to. And he has instincts in the subtle body which are also very much going for the same pleasures. But there comes a time for each human being, unless he is totally sinful, where he becomes tired of everything else except for the desire of the heart and the longing of the soul to start its journey back home, back to Godhead. This journey is the most fascinating journey for the human being, to go and travel into the kingdom of love. It's a journey which will bring a full awakening from the sleeping state of forgetfulness. The Upanishads, in very clear language, encourage us to go on this journey. They call out to us in a verse which we have often heard, which is a very, let me say, auffordernde, an encouraging verse. The verse goes like this. I know part of the verse by heart, but not all of it. Utishta jagrata prapya varani bodhata churasya dara nishita durajaya dugam patastat kavayo vadanti. Yes, it's the Katha Upanishad. Arise! Awaken. You should take an elevated soul as your spiritual master. Learn the spiritual truths from him. The spiritual path which is calling you is difficult to walk upon, for it is like a wetted razor's edge. It's a sharp razor's edge. The sages say it is beset with thorns. Yes. The sages say that the path has thorns on it. Now, we will talk a little bit about these thorns, these obstacles. We will talk about these obstacles from the perspective of this, of today's Bhagavatam verse, that yes, the traveler is Anishvara, not in control always of all the phases of his journey. As when you wake up, Utishta Jagrata, you come to different levels of awareness on your spiritual journey, you will also come to different levels of Krishna consciousness. In the beginning, you will have a certain understanding of Sambandha. I am a part and parcel of Krishna. But as your spiritual journey progresses, you will become more and more aware of your transcendental relationship with Krishna, so that finally you know what is your relationship. And at that time, you will have your Siddha Deha, your spiritual perfected body, or your original constitutional position. You will inherit it again. You will have inherited it. It's yours now. This waking up, this morning I was waking up, I for some reason was very tired, and I do remember in my dream I heard an alarm clock, and I thought, oh God, it's only a dream. The alarm clock was very far away still, but there was a little mixing of the realities, the dream reality, because it was not a dream alarm clock, it was the real alarm clock. Then I was in a half, this means I was already half in this reality and half in the dream reality, because I'm a great enjoyer by nature, my mind served my purpose to enjoy the sleep a little bit more and did this funny interpretation. It was a dream clock, no need to get up. Then the next thing which happened was more awareness. I heard a voice, it's time to get up. This voice had a strong French accent. Somehow I respond very enthusiastically to this accent, and I became more aware, and my first question was, where are we? Are we in Berlin? Are we in Croatia? Are we in India at the moment? And then I became aware, no, you are with your head towards Radha Kunya Bihari. You are in the Karuna Bhavan. And then slowly the awareness came. The dream world went back, and I knew everything which I... and I got up, and I started my day and thought of my different projects today in devotional service for Krishna. I did some planning as I walked into the bathroom. Yes, slowly came into this reality. So, as you follow this word, Utishta Jagrata, wake up, you will also awake, so that finally your duties in relationship to Krishna. That means your particular service is very clear before your eyes, and you will engage in this. It's a gradual process, as Srila Prabhupada used to say. During this gradual process, you will also come to know, then in bhakti, that is in devotional service, there is infinitely more taste than you have ever tasted in this material world. But it's not immediately clear when you start the progress. When you start the progress, what is immediately clear to you is, far out, this is totally different than anything I have experienced so far. And this is called the beginner's enthusiasm, which comes into your heart. It's new. Anything which is new, a new relationship is exciting, a new present which you have obtained is exciting. Everything, at least for some of us, what is new is immediately exciting. But wait, you have to develop a mature relationship and decide if you want to keep this, what is new, and experience it on a new level. As you advance in bhakti, you will find out that gradually, if everything goes well, the world with its allurements falls away from you, and you will only focus your concentration on Krishna and your service to him and your relationship. Everything else just goes like and you will, because you are so happy, you will not miss it. Because you have happily come to understand and relish the bhakti rasa, you will feel very joyous in this. The doors to the material world will close. You will not see the many different rooms which are described in books like Steppenwolf, you know, where the hero goes through the material world, which is like a magical cabinet with many, many rooms of experience. No, they close. But this is what will happen when you are progressing very nicely, when you reach the higher levels of your journey. As you are still here endeavoring to make advancement, you will actually see that the attachments which you have had in your life before will all come back one by one, but in new forms. They will stand before you, and you know, so that you can make your decision. In the beginning, Gaurahari will now paint for you a graphic. The understanding of devotional service is that you will start at point A and everything goes easy. You will be very, 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 you will advance like that, like a rocket. Thank you for this very good illustration. You have heard verses, Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha. That in the beginning is faith, then Sadhu Sangha, I have this. The Bhajana Kriya, well, yes, I do devotional service, I'm also initiated. Then Anatha Nivriti, I'm free from I'm getting freed from my luggage, which holds me to the material world. Then nishta, wow. Then ruchi, then pa, ah, shakti. Whoa. You think like this. By the way, this is the same model, only you would make a little caro around it, which the German bank uses. Gaura Hariji, would you be so kind to make a caro around it? Like a house without a roof, an aus without a roof. Yes. This idea of unlimited progress is very much what the ordinary devotee who comes to Krishna consciousness understands his progress to be so. And the Adoshadha verse is right. But please note that unless you are on the platform of nishtha, steadiness, you will be attracted to the material energy. And unless you are on the platform of prema, you will also sometimes be attacked by the reactions to your offenses on the path of devotional service. Both these things, that is your previous attachments, as well as the effects of devotional, of offenses which you do, will make you fall, and there will be small accidents. So with this understanding, Hariji, you have to be there. Writing is later for you. With this understanding, a new paradigm must be there. We will now it will be like the movements of a snake. Sometimes the snake is a little bit more on the ground than it is, and is more here and than elsewhere. There will be the old attachments if you are not nishtha, and also there will be the effects of your aparadas, and you will fall down from time to time and have a small or larger accidents. Now Lord Krishna, he sees that you as his devotee want to move in his direction, and that your path goes up and down, but you are still on the right process. Krishna thinks at this moment, oh, my devotee wants to come to me, but he prays still to me for a new house, for a new car, for a good wife, for a happy family situation, for enough money and so on. He still wants that his material life goes well. But I know that these things are the very cause of misery for my devotees, these material attachments, which he cultivates on the side. And therefore, I will help my devotee with my extraordinary mercy by destroying his material attachments. What happens then is something entirely different. Which we will describe now with another graphic. You seem to make advancement, but after some time something happens where you are really brought to the ground, bang, where you really, where your whole Shraddha in Krishna's mercy is tested, because you get what you can describe, these very heavy, it's not a smooth curve any longer, this very heavy experiences in your bhakti. Sometimes you're the spiritual master, something goes wrong there, we have seen this many times in ISKCON, or some injustice happens on your way, which totally takes away your Shraddha, which is absolutely necessary for your journey. Tukaram, the great saint who has met Gonitai in a transcendental vision, he's from Maharashtra, has described this. Tukaram's life was like this. His family died in a starvation. Hare Krishna. He was a wealthy man, he lost all his novats, all his money. And he became a singer of devotional poetry. And very wonderful verses. I will read to you one song of Tukaram, which will make you cry. But the Brahmanas didn't like his unconventional and very personal relationship to Vitalnath, whom he called Vitoba. Banduranga Vitalnath Hari Narayan. This is one of his songs. Hari Narayan. A very nice singer, Tukaram. The Brahmanas were so much opposed that he said, I can have my personal relationship to Krishna. I don't need you Brahmanas who are interpreting the scriptures, demanding so much money for your fat bellies and so on. They took all his writings and said, if it is wrong, then your writings will sink in the river. If it is right, the Lord of your heart will make it float on the river, on the surface of the river. So with this, saying this, they took everything he had written and just battered it, just threw it into the river, and it sank on the river ground. Tukaram was destroyed. The Lord had taken everything. He had seen his family die of starvation. Starvation means not enough to eat. Now he took the literature away, which he had written in glorification. And he said, my Lord, if this is wrong, what you have given into my heart, then let it the thing sink. But I want to know if you love me. I want to know if you protect me. And if you don't give me back the books, then I will know that you don't love me. So I will sit on the bank of the river and fast till death, until the scriptures come back. You know, these were songs of love. It was not some intellectual writing. It was the outpouring of his heart. And I will read to you one of these songs, and you will feel the intense language of this poem. And the Lord could not resist his dear devotee. He would, at the end, you know, at the end, he just took all the scriptures and they floated on the river, and the ink was there. They were not disturbed. The brahmanas thought, oh, I wonder, I wonder, I wonder. Tukaram is correct. Tukaram just cried, knowing that the Lord has accepted my service. The Lord loves me. Yes, yasyaham anugrinami harishyatadhanam shanai. The things are taken away from the Lord when He really loves you. And this is Tukaram's song about this. When it comes from the clear sky, a meteorite. Do you know what is a meteorite? Is it an English word, first of all? Please say it in proper English. A meteorite. Thank you very much, Madhati. You have saved this English class. If it comes, the meteorite, and falls on your house and breaks your whole house in pieces, no, Krishna has visited you. When a catastrophe comes your way, totally annihilates you, and nothing remains except for God and yourself. No, Krishna has visited you. When your language and your words are stripped naked, so that you can never again speak any falsehood, then no, Krishna has visited you. When your whole humanness, now this is for not for the beginners in Krishna consciousness, but this class is meant for elder devotees. When your whole humanness is ripped into parts, so that it never comes back again like it was before, then no, Krishna has visited you. When you are without any hope, when you cannot call anything your own any longer, then no, Krishna has visited you. When the whole world is ripped out of your hands and your voice becomes talkative, you know, someone who, the idea is someone who is in misery begins to talk, he needs to talk his misery to someone else, then no, Krishna has visited you. Look at me. The Lord has visited me, and now I dance in ecstasy. Tukaram. This is a very, very intense verse. This is an aspect of spiritual progress which is often kept secret, even by the Mahabhagavat devotees like Yudhishthira. Once Yudhishthira went to Krishna and said, and Krishna received him very nicely and said, Yudhishthira, you are my great devotee, please, I want that you asked a blessing from me. Not only one, three blessings. Yudhishthira said, all right, I want the most beautiful woman to be my wife. I want to have the maximum amount of money, more than anyone else in this world, and I want to rule a kingdom. Krishna said, well, I told you I would give you a blessing. Now I cannot go back on my words. You will marry Draupadi. Your treasuries will be filled with unexcelled riches, and you will be the emperor of the world. But Yudhishthira, why have you asked for these things? Usually my devotees ask for something else. Yudhishthira said, I wish that when people see me, they understand. And they are beginners in their spiritual life. They understand that you do not take anything away from your devotees, but you give everything to your devotees. I want that they, because if they hear about your ways of dealing, the beginners in spiritual life will not be very interested in you. And Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Yudhishthira says this to the Lord. Lord, you have not shown your mercy to us, because people who hear about us will not become your devotees. And we as your devotees want that people will become your devotees. Hare Krishna. We don't want that people who hear about us bloop, you know, and leave the gates of bhakti behind. Now, my dear devotees, Krishna only does this for elevated souls. But he sometimes, you know, when he sees that a devotee wants very much to come to Krishna consciousness, but he is Anishvara, not in control of these things, and he does all the things, foolish things, then Krishna, if he sees that the devotee wants so much to come to him, he helps him by taking away these, you know, other so-called experiences. Don't worry, it's not always as dramatic as Tukaram talks about it. He is a poet, you know. He makes the point in a lyrical way. Mm-hmm. Please know, my dear devotees, the real happiness in spiritual life is when you are cured from this disease, to give the Lord of love, or to take from Krishna your attention. But when you then the real life starts. As long as you try to find the happiness in things which are not related with Krishna, you will suffer, because the material world is made like this. It is made to give you the experience that if you enjoy without Krishna, this will not work. It is made like this. It is constructed like this. Whatever you take from the material world, it will maintain this problem. It's almost like when in India, you know, you eat and you always have diarrhea. Do you know what is diarrhea? Flutter Otto. Diarrhea, loose motions. What the Ayurvedic doctor, they will speak of loose motions. Let me see if I have other English words for this. Bringing your weight down to the law of gravity. It's another term for this. So then you continue to eat. But if you eat food which is full of the germs of this, which gives you diarrhea, you will increase a problem. You know, when you have diarrhea, you're usually very thirsty. And in order to quench the thirst, this is what I used to do. I used to drink from any pump and anything, you know. But the diarrhea only increased, because the medicine which you took against the diarrhea, or what you took, the water which you took, was also infected with the germs of the diarrhea. You can never become happy when you are a sick man, when you take the things which have the causes of illness in it. Is this example clear? When you have diarrhea and you may take the most opulent food with the nicest sherbet drinks. Sherbet is a kind of syrup. People like it in India. It tastes like chemistry, and you take all this, it looks very nice. But if you take it, it will just increase the problem. So this is how what this world is meant to show us, that you have to find your joy in spiritual life by making spiritual sense objects the causes of your enjoyment. You know, you there should be a spiritual culture where you can take your informations from a spiritual culture. There should be nice food. There should be nice, even you can dress yourself in a way which gives pleasure to Krishna, in devotional clothings, and you can, you know, this, the idea is bring Krishna in the life. This is what we are meant to do. So Lord Krishna will work with his devotees according to this model. A poet who expressed this in a very metaphorical language is a Rumi. He described this with a housewife, the picture of a housewife. The housewife is cooking her chickpea preparation, and the chickpeas call out to the housewife, it's so hot in this pot. Can you please take us out of the pot? And the housewife says, no, you're not ready yet. You're not yet cooked. You have to be cooked a little bit more as to become enjoyable for the master of the house. So, yes, Ananda Chaitanya, you may not be cooked enough. So, the Lord keeps you in the pot. And it's hot. And it's sometimes painful. But it is for your benefit. I have just 1 week ago received maybe the greatest pain in my life since the last 5 years in my, you know, something very disappointing happened. And I was really finished. I needed to go into bed. It was so hard. But then after a few days praying to Krishna, walking through the Shumi, Shumi means forest, then I could understand this was Krishna's extraordinary mercy on me, to open my eyes to something I had not seen before in the life. So this sometimes happens. I will end here. This evening, stay in touch. We will have two more graphics which are waiting for us. Please come this evening. We will continue where we stopped. But I want to now see if you have any questions in your spiritual, regarding this. Syamachandra says, I found maybe some in the discussion with one devotees, we found some contradiction. On the one hand, it says by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that if you keep the anchor, if you keep your attachments to sense gratification, you cannot progress. And he gives the example of the wedding party who was rowing a boat, but who was not moving from the anchor place because the anchor was not lifted. It was still in the ground. No matter what they tried, they could not progress. So on the other hand, this verse seems to say that progress is possible. Even if a devotee sometimes is unable to renounce all sense enjoyment, this is what the verse says. Examples and also philosophy usually, this is very important if you understand, want to understand philosophy properly. It highlights certain points. It is often like a torchlight which comes into the darkness and illuminates the hidden objects. But it's not that everything which is in the circle of the torchlight is reality. There may be other things. This, what we hear, that someone who remains attached to sense gratification is true. However, if this attached person invites or Lord Krishna into his life by hearing about him regularly, then by the powerful presence of the Krishna Sun, the darkness of his material attachments will be taken away one by one. How will this happen? Well, with the simple method of he will develop a higher taste, param drishtva nivartante. Yesterday, we had a very, very interesting question, which Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. He says, but as long as we are, the question can be asked, as long as we are in this material body and mind, we will always be influenced by the body urges and the mind urges. It is just like as being in a house, you will be influenced by the temperature in the house. Sometimes it's hot, then you are hot. Sometimes it's cold, then you are cold. So as long as we are in the body, we will always be influenced by body and mind. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti. This may be a question. Is this true? And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, it's only true when you don't have any Krishna. But if you invite the Krishna Sun in your house, it will spread its own atmosphere. So, gradually, for the devotee who hears about Krishna, the powerful attachments will recede and will flee away. There are many statements like this, that just like cross, go from a field, when someone claps in his hands, the sinful reactions flee the heart of a person. And sinful reactions, one of the sinful reactions that kutastha, they are the seeds of desire which are here. They are a reaction to our material activities. Someone who has a very, very excessive sexual life will always have more and more desires for these activities, more of creative desire. I mean, I don't want to give it a good name. More crazy desires, you know, and so on. These are reactions to his activities. So the idea is, you will remain connected with the material world, and you will not make any advancement if you don't hear first class Krishna Katha, where your attachment to Krishna is born, then it will not work. But if you do, then you can change the heart. Ultimately, to change the heart, you must feel the gifts of deep absorption. When you become deeply absorbed in Krishna, you will get certain gifts. Your heart will melt. is a shloka. How can a person's heart be purified without the ecstatic devotion that causes his hair to stand on end, his mind melting with love, and tears flowing from his eyes? This is from the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, 14th chapter, text 23. We must have these experiences. A little while ago, I also want this to go on this tape, I received a letter from my friend who had invited me to give more retreats in Giri Govardhan at the bank and at the site of the Giri Raj. And he so much wants that we give a japa retreat there together. And I always say, oh, I have so much service to do in Europe and Germany in particular. And my only seva in India up till now to Krishna is the Naam Seva. I've not done anything else. So I just can't imagine to do any service there. And he said, this is the short-sightedness of someone who is totally absorbed in his own little world. You must know, Sachinandan Swami, unless we give to our, if we always create outreach programs, you know, programs where we get to the young at heart, to the new devotees, and do not cultivate the older devotees whom we have, then what will happen is that these older devotees will feel dry and lonely, and they will just not come in the association of devotees any longer, because they will think, I don't get any nourishment in this association. And as a result, I will be on my own. But usually the older devotees, you know, when you stay without the protective fence of the of Bhakti Sangha, of Vaishnav Sangha, your material attachments come, and then your house is the house of attachment. You know, this usually happens. So that this doesn't happen, all grihasthas in the Pushti Marga, Pushti means nourishing Marga, it's a word of a certain of Vallabhacharya's path. They get with their initiation a deity. And they have to serve the deity, because then the household is meant for the pleasure of the deity. Then this does not happen. But otherwise, the house will become a place of material attachments very easily. The danger is there. So they come back. So he said, we should make many retreats at Govardhan, because there is simply nothing better than sitting in the holy dham and hearing about Krishna. This gives immediate taste, Shyamachandra. Hare Krishna. But someone who does not hear about Krishna, someone who does not take the message of who doesn't come into devotional association and who doesn't hear properly, he will not and who does not serve and who doesn't do, he can try many things to make some spiritual advancement, but it will not happen. Adya, and then Gaurahari, and then we will end, because otherwise it becomes a little late. How can we stand up after we have fallen down? Usually, says Adya, when we have fallen down, we are in such a, maybe even depressed or sad state that we cannot pick ourselves up. I will talk about this in the afternoon, in the evening, by talking about a very important thing. It's correct what Shyamachandra has brought out, this very nice doubt to this verse. But the answer to this is, if you are sincerely humble about this, if your humility is there and you have fallen down, then you are very easily picking yourself up. But if you are still in false ego, even after you have fallen down, which is something which usually happens, your just ego hurts what happened. But if you are able to say, "Oh, I really see now who I am. I'm very small. I'm very, very," if you don't have what is called kapata, pretense, gloss it over, "I'm a big devotee, you know, I'm an old devotee, I'm already a Brahman guru," or whatever, then this humility will give rise to bhakti. I will read a quotation in this evening from Jiva Goswami on this point, that when a devotee who has been shown his shortcomings, sees them and sincerely regrets his fallen state, then it gives rise to very first class bhakti. Don't we all know these situations when it has again been shown, "Oh, you are what you are," you know, then if we can accept it and not protest, we will become very good devotees. It's my own experience, like what happened a week ago. I'm trying again to be a good devotee, you know. I'm very shaken and very, "Oh, Krishna." And I feel very nice because I know everyone has a chance. Everyone has a chance. And can serve the Lord very nicely and so on. The point, Adya, is that when we are, when something happens and our ego remains, you know, we pity ourselves. "Oh no, why me?" This is called false ego. Don't think false ego is only when you are, you know, strong. False ego is also when, "Oh, everyone is so unfair to me." It's also false ego. It's not a different, it's just a different costume, a different dress. False ego is a very powerful thing, ahankara. Don't think she or he has only one dress in his wardrobe. There are many dresses. I once wrote a poem about it. Many dresses of false ego, Hare Krishna. It's too intense for that. I've never published it or spoken about it. It's just for me. This question is connected to the previous one. The devotee wishes to know, Gaurahari wishes to know, that when this purification comes, it shatters us so much that we seem to not be able to accept it. Even sometimes we begin to harden, to fight with the Lord. It's the Hiob. It's a symptom. Yes. Well, after having said something on this in the first question, I want to now take a different approach. See, devotional life, you need to be a little strong. Strong means, when you are so unhealthy, you have not eaten enough and not slept enough, or you have not taken enough rest, you have done too many austerities for your level of advancement, and it works the other way around. It makes you, doesn't strengthen you, but it weakens you. Then something happens, we are just very upset, and our vata goes high, and so on. So therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends the devotees to be in a situation where they can fight. You know, that means where they are a little physically and emotionally and socially strong. That's very important. What happens mostly is not, you know, these things which you are now thinking about, it's not really this purification of Lord Krishna. It's just, let us face life seriously, Gaurahari. We are ordinary people. We still have some karma. Even if we would be outside of the association of devotees, we would suffer much more. Here our karma comes, it's little luxury karma, luxury problems, and we already jump on the sky, in the sky. It's not necessarily Krishna's purification. We may say so, just to be philosophical and Krishna conscious, so this was Krishna. It is mostly our own karma, our misdoings. See, as a preacher, I deal with so many non-devotees. Also, at the moment I don't have so many non-devotees, but some non-devotees, they suffer so much more. Then I know when they, and the same psychological things happen to them, which happen in my room when devotees are coming and talking about their distress. It's similar. It's very similar. Very similar. It's this, why do I give such a unexpected answer? I want to make the point, it's good for a devotee to be humble about himself. I'm an ordinary person with an extraordinary good fortune. If you think like this, I'm an ordinary person with an extraordinary good opportunity, then the whole picture is different. Then you also say, oh yes, ordinary people suffer. I also sometimes suffer. but I have the thing. One thing is, let us not psychoanalyze the process of Krishna consciousness too much. Psychoanalysis is very good, maybe I should say analysis, when you deal with your own anattas. And it's very necessary to know where you can improve, where you do constantly mistakes so that people get mad at you. It's very important to analyze it like this. But when you come to the process of bhakti, psychoanalysis doesn't help you. You should not deal so much with what happens to you on the material platform. This you do when you fight with your anattas, which is an important process of bhakti yoga. Don't forget. We have to do this, it's important, yes, yes, yes. But we want the nectar. And the nectar is found in a total different realm. It's not found in dealing with the problems which you experience on the path. You have to deal with the problems which you deal on the path. I want to be very clear. Because it's so easy to be misunderstood when you bring two levels into your discussion. Yes, on one level, deal with the problems. It's very important. We have to be honest, otherwise we live in a pretense and so on. But the bhakti, and this is what I learned from the bhakti sandarbhas, is a total different story. That's why you often find descriptions of very fallen souls who practice bhakti, do something with bhakti, have a bhakti experience, and become very exalted in a matter of a few moments, because bhakti is so strong. You have a real bhakti experience. Krishna. Hare Krishna. So this verse I find very, very encouraging, that it points us in the bhakti direction. Why do we suffer, Gaura Hari? Tell me, why do we suffer? Jiva Goswami says, we suffer because of ignorance. And the ignorance is the result of having turned away from Krishna and not knowing our Swarup, our identity, and not knowing Krishna's Swarup, Krishna's identity. That's why the whole misery is there. So the devotee will come to his Lord and before his Lord in whatever state he is, and says, here I am again as a person of this world, please show your mercy. And he will show his mercy.